You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John in chapter 1 for a moment, if you would. Gospel of John in chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and thy saving grace. So deal with us that we would have the benefit of your wonderful person and presence. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now, in the Gospel of John, you recall God is being presented. God presents himself as God. In the light of all of human history, biblical history, God happens to be exactly who he is, wonderfully who he is. So in the beginning, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then you slide down. God made it possible to know him in a very awesome way. And in the process, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God is going to present himself in the person, perfect humanity of Jesus Christ, and he's going to demonstrate his awesome grace and his wonderful truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared or expounded him. He has put him on display. Jesus Christ's assignment was to put him on display in a unique way. Now, having said that, therefore, we're able to what? Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So you can have a unique personal relationship to God in a very personal, wonderful way. Now, we've been looking at that, and it's very awesomely, awesomely personal and beyond comprehension from a human standpoint. Now, and that would be the same as verse 1, in the beginning was God, and God is God. And it's very hard for the world to understand God if they reject his Son, reject his Word. Then how do we deal with God? We don't. Now, over, if you would please, in your Bible to John chapter 14. No, on your way, very good thought. On your way, John chapter 8, excuse me. On your way, John chapter 8. We looked at grace and truth, and it's all going to be expounded, unfolded. John chapter 8, you recall, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, and you may or may not, if you continue in my word, abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, genuinely. And if you're truly, truly my disciples, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you're truly, truly my disciples, you will know. Over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, picking up the thought, God is making it very clear. You're going to know the truth if you believe and understand and receive me. So when you came to John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the truth. I am the truth. I am standing in front of you, the 11 to 11. I am standing in front of you, and I am all that I am. I am that I am, Exodus 3 and 14. And if you just look at me and understand, you can see me, you can touch me, I am. I really am. So I'm giving you the visual opportunity to see me uniquely. And if you would understand that. Now, they had opportunity to understand this. But such was not so easy to do. Not so easy to do that. Therefore you come to verse chapter 14, 7, 8, and 9. The Lord Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So, and you know it. So it isn't a question you may know. They actually knew. The knower was knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's standing in front of them. So it isn't a question that they didn't know. It's a question they could see and hear, but they didn't understand in their heart. And most everything and lots of everything we do, we see and hear and don't understand down in here in the heart. So we make judgments on what we see and hear and think we understand, and we make judgments like that. And we do that. And often we're way off base because we didn't really understand. They didn't really understand. They just didn't do it. They wanted to. They certainly had 3 1/3 years to see and hear. They did, but they didn't. And remember, over in John 6, you may want to turn there just for a second. It's right next door. John chapter 6. And when many of the disciples turned away and went back, they didn't want to follow him anymore. The Lord Jesus said in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now verse 69, and we believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we believe that on the surface. We do it as best we can of all different men and history and people we know. There's no one like you. So we believe that you are who you say you are. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So we believe that without any question. That isn't an issue. And we believe but we don't understand. Over to John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, verse 19, John chapter 16, John 16 and 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. And that's in the light of his comment. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the Father and go to the Father. So I came from God and go to God. That's what I'm doing. Well, we got that. We don't understand it, but we hear you. Verse 30, now are we sure that thou knowest, we are sure that thou knowest all things. Not we know all things, but you know all things, and needest not that any man should ask of thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. We believe you're able to say and understand rightness and what you're saying. We believe that. So we believe that you know. So we're going to go by what you know and agree with you. Do you understand who I am? I am the way, the truth. No, we haven't got that part yet. That hasn't sunk in yet. It's going to take Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, to make that happen. Now, God, you know that has to happen or it isn't going to go. And you've told them all these awesome truths in John chapter 14 that we've looked at. And in the process, we're looking, God, now, and for you, John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, remember, the Lord has given them all of the wonderful, wonderful truth that he's going to do. And it's going to be very, very personal. Very personal, awesomely personal. And you're going to have a unique experience. And we share together that the word that we're going to look at here in John chapter 14, verse 26, "And the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And so they're going to have a wonderful, wonderful sense of God's person on the day of Pentecost. And the word teach here leads to the next verb, where we did it last time together in Matthew 11 and 29. The Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and get your learning from me." The word learning is because you're being taught. If you're teaching, learning, teaching, 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 if you're taught right, you're going to have an experience. Learn of me. Teaching, learning. I learn what I've been taught. If I haven't been taught, I can't learn. And when I learn, I have, get your learning. The learning, the verb has to do with to bring into your experience, to bring truth into the reality and rightness of your personal being. For you to be a personal possessor of the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The truth will set you free. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and doing that, and all of that is said, remember, all of that is said in the light of the fact that they are hearing, I don't need to read them again, John chapter 14, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, sliding down, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, a unique personal relationship to God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God in his fullness of being. You're going to know that in your heart in a very, very personal oneness kind of way. That's real. Now, God, we heard you, but we can only see and hear. We can't absorb it because we just aren't able to do it, like you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just isn't connecting. God, why? Because you need to do something for us. What do you need to do? Therefore, we share in verse 26, as we just read it, the Spirit of God needs to go, and in the name and on the authority and representing the Lord Jesus Christ, which is what it's all about. The Spirit of God's ministry is to represent what you hear, John chapter 16, and verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." How so? How so? "For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come." He is going to go, verse 13, and represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he's going to guide you into all truth. All truth. Because he's going to speak of me, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way and the truth. I am the truth. The Spirit of God is going to honor the truth. All of the truth, underline. In God, God is true. He's the true God and given us his word to know him and honor him. And he's given us his word and the Lord Jesus Christ in his most wonderful way brings and tells the truth about God. That's what he's all about. God, tell me, God, make yourself known. I'm going to tell the wonderful truth, reality, of all that I am. How am I going to show the wonderful truth of all that I am? I'm going to show you the wonderful truth about your creation. The man. Jesus Christ is the man, the perfect man. God created perfect man to tell the truth about God. God created man. We shared it last time. Not instincts. Not instincts like animals and fishes. Nope. 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 Humans require God. God didn't give him instincts. He gave them a wonderful capacity to house him. God himself. And all the world thus far, Israel putting him aside, the world not caring, coming all the way down. We just read it in John chapter 1. Israel rejects him. The world doesn't know him, doesn't want to know him. So here we come all the way down, and God, you're going to make yourself known in a most unique way, and you're going to make it clear in grace and truth. Now, what you have meant in what you intend, what you intended when you created humans, what you intended, and humans have missed the boat all the way down the line. God, you're going to show them. Jesus Christ is the perfect man to give the demonstration. The demonstration is rejected by the world system and Judaism, and they crucify him. But God isn't finished. He's going to go and show the, you know all these things, we've shared them 1,000 times. God's going to show his wonderful grace and truth in the resurrection, his resurrection, the only sign he's going to give. He's going to show that in the body of Christ, the church, which is his body, which has one awesome relation, has it just like Sunday school. We have an awesome relationship that needs to be understood, honored, and exercised. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so he told them these wonderful truths, and it took this, it's going to take the, a God you didn't, no, you know we haven't got it yet, make believe, using us, make believe, we haven't got it yet, but God said you're going to. And who's going to make it happen? God is going to make it happen, because the Spirit of God is going to go, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, is going to go and make all of everything I've been saying to you real and right and personal. All right. Now, therefore, God, you want us to know the truth, and you know everything, you are everything. Every time you speak of all things, everything, you know everything, all the things. We just read it. John chapter 14 and in verse 26. And in the process, we're going to go from there. Chapter 26, teach you all things. Okay, now let's go and do that, to teach you all things. Now, there's all kinds of, I'm going to give you one way to understand it. There's different windows to see the same thing. So God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go, and the Spirit of God's ministry is going to show us the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. Now, you would recall and keep in mind that the Word, the Lord Jesus, he's the Christ, the Son of God. Remember they said that. We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Now, what is Christ? Christ is the word, the Christ, used over and over and over and over again in the New Testament. The anointed one, the anointed of God, the wonderful anointed of God. And the word, the verb, comes from the word to anoint, to rub oil and salve and that kind, to rub it in, to rub. And when did they do that? In the Old Testament, they did it wonderfully. They did it in order to inaugurate a person into a given office. The king is anointed. The priests are anointed. The prophets are anointed. They're put into office, and God stamps them, anoints them, and makes it clear, this is my chosen one. Now, God, what have you done? All of that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is king, King of kings. He's the priest of all priests. He's the prophet, the Word become flesh. He's the Christ, the Anointed One. Hang on to that. He's the Anointed One. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to pick up just to see it, over to Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, may I pick up all kinds of ways doing it. Acts chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 27. And of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. So they're going to crucify him. Now, over to chapter 10. But he's the anointed. God anoints him. That's right. Is he just any old baby? No, he's not any old baby. He's God's anointed baby. He's the flesh, word become flesh. Wow. Over to chapter 10. And you probably are there ahead of me, chapter 10. And picking up, please. Oh, you'll see it. Chapter 10, in verse 38. 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things. Now, so God, you, Christ, you're the anointed one. That's right. So there's no question you are the anointed one in an awesome way. Now, and that your relationship is awesome. Now, God, where do we fit in? How do we fit in, God? God said, remember now, we aren't like Israel, a nation, a body, people believe. No, the believers are part of the body. Directly, head, body. You couldn't get more personal. And that's important to understand that, or you won't catch what he's saying. Now, so therefore, over in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And picking up in thought, if I can. So you get it. Here's the Spirit of God's ministry, you know, for believers. And one of his wonderful, wonderful things he does is to go and place us, immerse us, identify us officially in the body of Christ. One body, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it puts us in there in a unique oneness kind of way. So therefore, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are but one body, so also is Christ, many members but one body. For, by the Spirit are we all baptized, placed into, immersed into. Passive, it means you didn't do it, he did it. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit, a unique personal relationship to God in a most personal kind of way. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 18. And now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. And we shared all that in Sunday school. God puts you in the body in the most awesome way, and it's just to be in it. And on God's terms, not our terms, that can't be anyway, but on his terms, that's awesome. Now, so therefore, keep going, sliding over to verse 28, verse 27. Now, we are the body of Christ, and members individually or in particular, we're part of the package. We're part of the body members. This one body, and we're part of it. Now, God, so that's an awesome thing. We're part of that body in a unique and wonderful way. Okay, now I got that part. So God, you're telling us You're telling us that the Spirit of God's ministry is to put us, place the believing heart into the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. That's correct. As many as you received him, that's the Spirit of God's ministry to make that legit, real, and practical. Now, over if you would to 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 1. Now God, you've made it so easy. The Spirit, the Lord Jesus is encouraging them to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up please in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, yes, and in him, Christ, are amen. They're all legit, or the whole truth. Remember the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to have to leave. All the words I've said to you, I want you to have them. The truths are real, which I've said to you. And verse 14:26, the Spirit of God's going to make it all for real. That's what's going to happen. Wow. Now, and that God, you did that because it, yes and amen in Christ. God didn't mess around. There's no fooling around. It's real. Verse 20:21. Now, he which establishes us with you in God, in Christ, and hath anointed us is God. Now, what did you do, God? The Spirit of God placed us in his Son and mocked you, anointed you, and initiated you, inaugurated you, consecrated you, separated you into the marvelous relationship that you're to have for all of the benefits. When did that inauguration happen? The day you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God did that for real instantly. Now the believer has to wake up to it and start understanding it, if they would. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, going if I can to verse 22. Who hath also the Spirit of God, who also hath sealed us and given the down earnest, the down payment, God, I should say, who also hath sealed us and given us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit in our hearts. So God, You meant it. I did. I'm going to put a down payment down. Remember Ephesians? The down payment's myself. See, if anyone wants to try to claim you, they can't claim you because you already have a down payment. And the Spirit of God said, I already own that man, that boy, that girl, that woman. I own them. They're bought with a price. They're mine. And he anointed them to have all the benefits, to be a child of God, a son of God, in a most awesome way. Hang on. Now, having said that, over if you would please. To get that, they're all marked out. Now, over to 1 John. 1 John. Now remember, as you're going, the church is Ephesians and all of that. The church is his body. He's the head. And you all, we all have heads. We do. And every part of your body, you physically, not the person inside, you have a brain. I'm going to use your brain, but you aren't the brain. The brain's just an instrument. You're the inside. You're the thinker. You use your brain. You use your hands. You use your arms. Now, God, you gave each of us a head, and every part of your foot, every part of your toes enjoys your understanding, your decisions you make, the thoughts that you have, when you fear, when you love, when you hate, your body is yielded to have every, your foot enjoys every part of your head. Every thought that you thought all during the night, if you did sleep and you're dreaming and all of that your foot was experiencing. Isn't it? But it's only a foot. Isn't it a question of that? The foot's connected to the head. And everything in the head is experienced in the body. Christ is the head. And you're the body. So when he says all things, boy, does he mean all things. All things aren't in the foot. All things are in the head. That's why it's all things. Hang on. It'll come. Wow. Over 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Picking up, if I may. Chapter 2. Picking up in verse 20. And you have, but ye have an unction, an anointing. We have an unction from the Holy One, and the result of that anointing is you know. That isn't a question you will know, it's you do know. Perfect tense. You already know. You already know what? All things. How can that be? You have an anointing by the Spirit of God who represents Christ, who represents God, who knows everything. Your head knows everything. And you want to be the custodian, a witness that you belong to that head. Therefore, you are the unction of the Holy One. Now, that's up against what? That awesome truth is up against what? And that's what 1 John's about, among other things. So therefore, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, over in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, abide, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. So you need to be abiding in what you've heard. Now, in order to catch that, what you heard, what did they hear? Over to John chapter 1, verse 1. What are you writing about, John? You're writing to believers. That, 1:1, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, there's the little term, from the beginning, repeated, going to be repeated, from the beginning, so there's no guessing. From the beginning, which you've heard, there's the same verb, which you've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, and handled of the word of life. Life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship. Now, not only did you want to have a relationship to Jesus Christ, you've already heard it, make sure you abide in it. Don't lose it, because what's the problem? You're being opposed by something else. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, there's your verb, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, thereby we know that it is the last time. There are Antichrists, and they aren't out for you. They're out against you. They're against God's Son. Verse 19, they went out from us, they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So God, what was the problem? The problem was that they needed to understand their relationship to God in a unique way, not an intellectual way like we shared in the beginning before his crucifixion. Oh, well, we see you, we understand, we hear you, but we really don't understand you. We don't know what's inside, so we can be all over the place. But once it gets inside, the anointing, boy, you can't do that, not freely. Now, so therefore, if I slide, verse 21. But I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that he is, that no lie is of the truth. You know the truth. How much truth? All truth. All truth. The Spirit of God doesn't teach you half a truth. He's going to tell you all the truth. He's going to teach you everything I said, and I am the truth. I don't tell lies, I'm telling you. So here's the wonderful promises, yes and amen, in God's word and work to help us so that we understand. And therefore, they're going to come and do all kinds of things. What? To take and reduce each time. Think of it. Each time you reduce this awesome relationship, think of John 14, 12, 13, 14, 20, 20, 24, a relationship, the Father and Son, God in his fullness in your heart to represent him. And that's so missing so often that it isn't found. And therefore, God, it isn't there. So each time we are not able to exalt Jesus Christ in his godness as we ought. Does that make sense? You can't honor godness, God's person, in his godness. He's God. He knows all. He is all. See? All. All means all. There's nothing left. Wow. So here, thus verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that understandeth the Son hath the Father also. And then you read verse 24. And the promise. Now, God, so what's it? What are you saying then? Don't lose out on your relationship to God. And now you're going to lock it in as you slide down the page, the word, sentence, word, of verse 26. I'll read verse 25 even. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That's the issue. You're getting sidetracked. You're getting listening to the wrong spirits, the wrong people. And you got to get it. Who's going to talk like this except God? Who even thinks like this except God? We bring everything down. Well, it really doesn't believe. Believe means, but no, it doesn't mean all things. No, it makes sense. Come on, you don't know all things, and we'd all nod our head. We don't know all things, and well, we start listening, and pretty soon we're all losing it. What happened? We reduced God down, which is what happened in Jeremiah's day. To less than God. Doesn't mean you don't believe. It doesn't mean you just don't believe like you ought to believe. You just don't enjoy like you want to enjoy. That's all. So you have a Jesus that isn't quite that big. You have God that isn't quite that big. And so why? And we shared that in Sunday school. I would think most of the time, from unfortunately in the world, people are not being persuaded by believers. By their overwhelming life, that they're convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, a person's personal life is very persuasive. They're very much alive. They're enjoying the grace of God. They're part of the body. And they here's everything to be known. And they aren't worried about it. Why? Because there's nothing that has to be known or understood that isn't understood by your head, the Lord Jesus Christ. He understands it all. So what are you worried about? Stop worrying, Philippians. Stop worrying about everything. Stop fretting, Psalm 37. Stop doing it. Don't you understand? The head, the foot doesn't say if the foot goes to the foot doctor. The foot doctor goes out, and the foot doctor puts your foot out, and the foot says, I sure hope that things will come out. No, what are you doing with the foot doctor? You're looking down at the foot doctor with that big needle, or whatever you do, and you do that, and put your foot down, you look down, and you're able to talk to the foot doctor, and tells you to put some numbsit in. Put some numbsit before you shoot me with that needle. Because you can do that. Your head will support your foot. Does that make sense? Your head will support, cares about your foot. And it will support your foot. So it cares about your foot. Very much so. You hurt your foot, you favor it. Now, so God, here we are looking. And God, you're going to do that. And the end, so that we have a wonderful relationship with you and everything is seeking. Don't just say, well, apostasy in its full amount. Apostasy is layers like this. And say, apostasy, left. No, it isn't full rejection. It's a lessening of the truth. In practical reality, you don't believe that. People don't believe that. And in truth, they don't. Then they, what is that? That good? That's not good. So why would I want to be a Christian? Like you? What do you got to make believe? Wow. So now, therefore, verse 27. But, there's your words, anointing, which you have received. You have received of him, from him, abideth, where is it finding its home? In you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. It isn't your job to support or defend. Truth is truth, and the Spirit of God's ministry is the basis of why you have all knowledge. It is the basis of why you are in the truth. It is the basis of what you are and what you have and what you're going to be and what you're able to do. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, that's His ministry. And it includes every drop that God has made possible for you in His wonderful person and work on Calvary's cross. That's all yours. Nothing less. Nothing less. Now, I know that's whatever. But now, so therefore, to teach you all things, and it's no lie. Even as teach, as when you, the verb is used three times there, present tense, and aorist. As taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? Abiding. Abiding. What are you looking for, God? I want you to abide. The Lord Jesus said, everything that I've ever taught, that's why you got the New Testament. How could Peter and James and John write all those words? Because God gave them to them. God has a very good memory. God doesn't have a memory in that sense. He has it all. It's hard to describe it. Wow. So God, what are we doing? Well, listen, I want you to rest in Christ, not rest in your knowledge. He is all knowledge. Not rest in the truth. He is truth. Not rest in whether it's right. He's right. And you're resting like your foot's resting in your head and relies on your head. And your foot doesn't need a brain transplant. You don't need it. You got it. You're trusting Christ fully, completely, 1,000,000%. And that's what it's about. And Lord Jesus is telling him the impossibility of all of this awesome, awesome truth is yours. Over to John, you're right here, why not? John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Remember the relationship to God's word, believing. And hereby we know, what do we know? That he abideth in us. Ah, by, how so? By the Spirit which he hath given us. The Spirit of God's ministry is to, John chapter 16, 13, it's to make it all real. That's right. So when you're trying to figure out, how does it all work? It only works because God said it, God does it. That's why it's true. And if you just read it in your scripture reading, we don't have time for it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 15, what'd you read? It's things are spiritual. And God takes the deep things, the Spirit of God takes the deep things of God and outworks them in your life. That's what God does. It isn't up to you. You live and brush your teeth and do everything, go to work and school and everything you have to do as a human. But God, you're looking to God. And that's God's wonderful ministry to give you the life to live, to brush your teeth. You can brush your teeth unsaved, and you can brush your teeth saved. You can brush your teeth, you know, with toothpaste or without, whatever. You're looking to God. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and the Spirit of God's chapter 4. Chapter 4. And if I may pick up. So you don't think it's, God doesn't say weigh out things. God says, be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. And you can't say that's on it can't work. No. God said, I told you to trust me. I'm holy. That's what makes you holy. You leave me out, you're unholy. So when I tell you to be holy as I am holy, I'm not asking you pie in the sky. I'm telling you, you had better be holy because I'm holy and I'm in you if you're saved. Think of Matthew 5. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Perfect, perfect, complete, full, lacking nothing. Well, he's perfect. And he in you is perfect and he makes you perfect. Think of it. Oh, you know. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Christ is the fullness of God. Verse 10. You are full of Christ in him. There's nothing lacking. You have all things. You know all things. There's nothing missing. It isn't a question you have a big IQ. It's a question you are trusting God as your wonderful Savior, as your Savior to help you. Therefore, in closing, I hope you got a little bit. Oh, did I do? I didn't do. 1 John chapter 4. I think I did. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we, that we dwell in him, and he in us. Wow. Because, the reason, he hath given us of his Spirit. Without a Spirit, it isn't real. All we can do is see and hear things. We can't understand them. So God, it's up to you. And we're looking to you. And if we don't look to you and thank you, then none of it's true. The whole Bible. What's the sense of reading the Bible, actually, if you aren't going to let it work? For comfort. You know. No, it's meant to work. It's meant to produce. Well, it's meant for you to put it energy. And God's right there to do it. It isn't you doing it. It isn't your particular intelligent understanding, your academic, the things people say. No, it's just your willing yieldedness, the foot to the head, for God to do what he wants. And that's why you aren't deficient. That's why you are sufficient. Why? Because of God. Therefore, Romans chapter 8 again. Let me do it a little differently. I hope you get a little bit. It's awesome things. We don't hear it very much. I don't think many people even come to think about it like they ought to. I don't think so. I think that's true because all you got to do is take your binoculars and look around, look over the globe, the world, and take a look-see what you see. We know what it's supposed to be, and we look for it. We look here, and then we look up to see it. Romans chapter 8, if I can, verse 26. Likewise, I'll read verse 25. Well, but if we hope for that, see not, we don't see it, then do we with patience, bearing up under the load, wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weakness, our failings, our shortcomings. For we know, what do we know? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we can give you a prayer request, but we really don't know. No, we don't know, because we don't have all the pieces. How can you don't have all the pieces? So-and-so has this, and so-and-so has that. And that's an item. How can you know all the other pieces that go to it? And God does. So I may be asking what? All I can ask is, God take care of this. Therefore, we should pray for as we ought, verse 26. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, which groanings which cannot be uttered. So it's beyond our understanding anyway, because we don't have all the pieces. He that searches the hearts knoweth, what's he know? He knows the mind of the Spirit of God. So God the Father, do you know God the Son? God the Son, do you know God the Holy Spirit? God, do you know everything? I do. It says I know all things. There's nothing I don't know. All right? So there's nothing you don't know. That's right. You don't know. You don't know, but I know. Did you get it? You don't know what to pray for, but I do. Said God. Therefore, verse 27. He that searcheth the heart knoweth the mind of the Spirit of God, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's right. Only God can know what God wants. Verse 28. And that's where 28 comes in. Those wonderful all things again, everywhere, all things. We know that all things work together for good. Verse 28. Work good to them that love God, looking to God. I want to honor his word. I'm looking to God. Help make it real. I can't. You have to. Therefore, to love God, that's what we're going to do, to love his word, to them who are called according to his purpose. And then what's going to happen? Well, then God's going to go and working. What's he doing in your little head, heart? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God, what are you doing? You're changing us to be like you. You're changing us to say it simply. You're changing it so that we believers in the body can enjoy the perfect, right, and real revelation of the relationship to you. To be able to enjoy, say it another, the foot, I want my foot to wonderfully relax and enjoy its relationship to the head. Is that easy? That's what I want. That's what it's all about. When you're all done and coming and going and eating and drinking and talking and whatever, that's what it's about. So God, you want to do a wonderful thing. God saves you to have a unique, personal, eternal relationship to himself and to enjoy it. If you want to enjoy God, enjoy the truth that he gives you by way of the Spirit of God, and you'll start thanking God for all that he's doing. That's why it says thank God always. Why? Because God is always doing according to his will. And here we are coming and going all over the place. And God, you're on top of everything. And as we look to you, we have the benefit. As we leave you out, we don't have the benefit. Wow. We reap what we sow. God, here we are. So God help us, I hope, got a little bit. It's an awesome thing, God said. That's why I told you that it's not very popular because it's out of reach. Why? Because it requires God. And we don't want to have to involve God that much. But we do. We do. We don't want to be without Him. No. Don't want to be without Him. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts and homes and health and everything else. God, we're trying to grow up. We're trying to learn. We're trying to everything. And God, You're doing it. And You said, You reminded us, and You remind us, Corinthians, You said that no flesh should glory in Your presence. Because it's all Your wonderful doing. And we're able to enjoy and exercise it. And then You added, if we're going to boast, if we're going to glory, if we're going to say, wow, to give You all the credit, You get all the glory, You get all the credit. God, thank You very, very much. So, Spirit of God, here we are. Thank You very much for caring, loving. Thank You for giving safety. God, here we are, each in our given settings and conditions and problems and comings and goings. And so, God, we're looking to You to take care of us. Thank You for wanting to take care of us. Thank You, it is Your delight to take care of us. God, help us to get there and understand that. And our Father, we're going to thank You immensely. Thank You very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.